I mean, number 12, I mean. Okay, we'll go to the Lord in prayer first here. Father, we just thank you for this time, Father, to come, Father, to study your word here, Father, on the Holy Spirit, Father. And Father, be with me, Father, to lead it, and Father, and draw us more closer to you. And Father, we lift up Brother John over there, filling in over Bethel there in Goshen, Father. Just be with him with the message there. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Galatians 5, the enemy of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh.
Yes.
And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. And the text is totally transparent. The flesh is the enemy of the spirit. The flesh and the spirit are in a continual warfare against each other. They are contrary one to the other and do not agree on each one teaching of the Lord Jesus. So when the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the church in Galatia, he was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and using himself as an illustration. No doubt, as he wrote in Romans 7, he was thinking of his warfare with his flesh. When we were born with a sin nature. At the birth, we were all sinners by choice. And when we trust and by faith receive Christ as our Savior, we are born again. When that happens, Peter tells us that we receive a divine nature, 2 Peter 1:4. In my opinion, that refers to when we were saved and we were indwelt by the Holy Spirit at that second. A warfare began. 2 Peter 1:4. Wherefore are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That warfare has begun between the divine nature versus the sin nature, holiness versus sinfulness, Christ-likeness versus selfishness, and the Holy Spirit versus the unholy flesh. The characteristics of the Holy Spirit. He is a spirit of truth, John 14:17. Even as the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. And in the spirit of holiness, Romans chapter 1, verse 4. And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. And in the life of the Spirit, Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And in Romans 8:15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
Amen.
And then he is the spirit of faith, 2 Corinthians 4:13. We have the same spirit of faith. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. In Ephesians 1:13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, what is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. And in the spirit of wisdom, Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And then he is a spirit of love, also 2 Timothy 1:7. And he is a spirit of sound mind, 2 Timothy 1:7. And then he is the spirit of grace, 1 Peter 4:14. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. And he is the Spirit of glory, 1 Peter 4:14. Keep in mind the Holy Spirit with these characteristics lives in your body. Okay. The characteristics of the flesh, these characteristics are divided into categories. Sensual sins of the flesh. Adultery, Exodus 20:14. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Adulterers and adulteresses are the enemies of God, James 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enemy with God? Whoso therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And then 1 Thessalonians 4:3. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which tries our hearts. Fornication is the same as same sin as adultery, only outside of marriage. Uncleanness, Galatians 5:19. But now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Uncleanness defined as impurity of mind. Everyone of some time has referred to someone who has a dirty mind. Lasciviousness, Galatians 5:19 and Jude 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only God, only Lord God, and our Lord Jesus Christ. And now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. And Beelzebub lewdness, this is a person that has total disregard of decency, no restraint, without shame, and ready to engage in is any sin of the flesh. Religious sins of the flesh. Christians need to watch this one. Idolatry, Colossians 3:5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil compulsions, and covetousness, which is adultery. Most people think of adultery as worshiping idols or images. Colossians 3:5 states, and covetousness, which is adultery. That is a low and debasing passion like those which he had specified above, and that it secures the affections which properly belong to God, and is therefore idolatry. Of all base passions, this is the one that most dethrones God from the soul. The book of Colossians was written to Christians. This tells us that Christians can be guilty of the sin of adultery. This is when the things of the world are most important than serving Christ. Christian, beware. Idolatry is the work of the flesh. Witchcraft, Galatians 5:20. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresy. Whatever that Greek word they call it, anyway, it says it's supposed to be the same word for pharmacy. The word is generally used for drugs, and the scripture always uses it in a bad way. Exodus 7:11. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments. And verse 22, and the magicians did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them, as the Lord has said. And Isaiah 47:9-12. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day: the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection, for the multitude of thy sorceries, and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. And verse 12, then now with thine enchantments, and with the multitude of thy sorcery, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth, if so be thou shalt be able to profit, if so be thou mayest prevail. when it is not connected to drugs, is an evil practice. Deuteronomy 18:9-14. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter of a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord God doeth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearken unto the observers of times and to diviners, but it for thee the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. And that same word up there that spoke be for pharmacists is also for sorceries also. This verse indicates that it will be widely practiced in the last days. These two works of the flesh are labeled religious sins. Hate sins of the flesh, Galatians 5:20-21. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envy, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Sounds like Mardi Gras going on, huh? Hatred, hostile towards other men, variant sores of discord, immolation, jealousy, wrath, uncontrolled outbursts of anger, strife, selfishness, and fetishness, sedition, divisions, heresy, divisions, envy, carry a grudge, and vile sins of the flesh, Galatians 5:21, as murder, drunkenness, reveling. These are closely related and most likely stem from alcohol. And Galatians lists 17 sins called the works of the flesh. Galatians 5:19-21. Now the works of the flesh are malice, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And the flesh is the enemy of God 100% of the time, and it is 100% of principle, contrary. The flesh is not subject to the law of God, Romans 8:7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And then the flesh can never please God, Romans 8:8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And the flesh is the dwelling place of no good thing, Romans 7:18. For I know that in me, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing.
Sure.
For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. And Christians are under no obligation to the flesh. Romans 8, 12 to 13. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And for as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And Christians but make no provision for the flesh. Romans 13, 14. Let us walk honestly as in... as in a day, not in routing and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh, to fulfill the lust thereof. And in Philippians 3:3, Christians should put no confidence in the flesh. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh.
Hey.
Every Christian must remember that we live in a body of flesh. Romans 7, 15 to 21. For that which I do not allow, not for what I would, That do I not, but what I hate, that do I. For then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. The flesh is totally depraved. When God saved us, He did not do anything at all for your flesh. Example, after 1,000 years of peace on earth, Galatians 27 through 9. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nation which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, who gather themselves together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breast of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints above and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And two witnesses killed, Revelations 11, 7 through 10. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead body to be put in grave. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on earth. We are capable of committing any and all sins of the flesh. We have the responsibility of mortifying the flesh. Colossians 3:5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, mortification, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil compulsion, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. And the word mortify in the dictionary just means to put off and put something on good. And this can only be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. A practical illustration gives a picture of a spiritual truth. This is a practical and an easy understood illustration of the war within you between the Holy Spirit and the unholy flesh, and how to win the war. Picture the Holy Spirit as a white dog. Now picture the unholy flesh as a black dog. For the illustration, picture those two dogs living inside you. They are like two dogs penned up in a doghouse. But in this case, the doghouse is you. This is a picture of the Holy Spirit and the unholy flesh who are penned up inside you. You were born with the black dog living in you. That black dog pictures the flesh in which you live. But since the day you received Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit came to dwell in you. Now you have a black dog and a white dog living inside you. Though two dogs do not like each other, they begin fighting each other from the time you wake up in the morning until you go to sleep at night. Now, which one of them wins the war every day? The one you feed the most. If you feed the black dog more than you feed the white dog every day, which one of you think you will win the fight that day? You're right. The black dog will win if you feed the white dog more than you feed the black dog every day. Which one you think will win the fight that day? You're right. The white dog will win the fight that day. The same is true with the Holy Spirit, the white dog and the holy flesh, the black dog. If you will make it a point to feed the Holy Spirit, you'll be able to walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you feed your flesh, you will live in a defeated life, and your life will end in disaster. And let the Holy Spirit be your guide. A devotional I got from the Landmark Baptist Church down in Haines City, Florida, Brother Mickey Carter. I'm sure we would all say that we want to live a victorious Christian life. But it is often easier said than done. The reason it can be difficult to live a victorious Christian life is because we often try to do it on our own. If you want to live the life that God intended for you to live, for you to have, you can't do it by following strict rules and guidelines. That was the purpose of the law, to show that we all need Christ. When you fall into sin, trying harder to do better will never work. You are setting yourself up for failure. In order to live victorious, you must walk after the Spirit. So how do you do this? Well, the first step is to have a right relationship with God. You must be born again. Your spirit must be made alive so that God can communicate with you. Next, you must yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. When you feel the Holy Spirit urging you to to do something. You must do it finally. You can grow sensitive to the Holy Spirit's voice by feeding the Spirit, listening to godly music, preaching, reading your Bible, and prayer are all ways to feed your spirit. The more you feed your own spirit, the more sensitive you become to the Holy Spirit. Living victorious only comes by yielding yourself to God's Holy Spirit. Who are you listening to today? Your flesh or the Holy Spirit? Brother Wayne, you want to close us in prayer?
Services. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.